Okay, so we're on page 267. We're going to be discussing psik reshe. So we were talking last class about how, just hold on one second, I apologize. So we were talking about how davar she'eino miskaven, we paskin, is permitted on Shabbos, meaning if you intend to do one thing and something else happens unintentionally, then you're not responsible. If you, I don't know, try to open a, I don't know, like a bottle on Shabbos, and there's you accidentally cut the letters, but it was unintended, so that would be okay. Davar she'eino miskaven is permitted. However, psik reshe, is an exception to that rule. If you look in source 35, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph says, Abaye v'Rava d'Amri Tarvayu Modeh Rav Shimon b'psik reshe v'lo yamus. Both Abaye and Rava agree. The Rabbi Shimon, who normally says that davar she'eino miskaven is permitted, will say that with psik reshe, I mean, velo yamos, what does that mean? It means the English translation is sever its head and will it not die? So what's going on here? So if you look in Rashi in source 36, page, we're on page 267. So Rashi in Sukkah Lama Gilman Beis explains what he means by this. I want, and it's a little strange. We go to the store and we'll buy a basketball. We want to play with a ball or buy a football. The kids in those days, they want to use the head of a chicken to throw around or head of an animal. Okay? I'm just this. And he says, I want to cut off the head of the animal on Shabbos, and I don't want it to die. I want the head. I don't want it to die. So it's an unintended consequence that you're going to violate the Malach of Shechita. Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to Shechita, it should be permitted because it's Davar She'eino Miskaven. No. The Chevan, the Efsha, Shelo Tamuz, Kim Miskaven Choshivle. That since it is impossible that it won't die, so it's as if you intended that it should happen. In other words, I guess there's intention and there's knowledge that something will happen. If you do something and it's only possible, maybe that the other behavior or the other action will happen, that's not a problem. You like, for example, when you open the door to your house, I don't know, you might click the thermostat, it will go up. It won't definitely happen, so it's okay. Even if it does, it's okay because that's davar she'eino miskaven. But if you do something and it will definitely cause something to happen, so then it's forbidden. And the Rambam says in source 37, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, Asa Maaseh, if you did an action, V'naaseh Biglalo Malacha, Shevadai Taaseh, Bishvil Oso Maaseh, and Sa'a Malacha happens that would definitely happen from your behavior, from your action. Af al pi shelo niskaven, she'adavar yodua she'yefsheh shelo taaseh osa malacha. So we're saying you're liable even if it's known, even if you do not intend. Why? Because it's impossible that that won't happen. Okay. So therefore, what's an example of this? If you look in source 38, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Shin Lamed Vav, Sif Gimel, gives an example. Ha'ochlim Beganos, if you're eating in the gardens, asurim litol yedehem al ha'asavim shemashkimoso. You can't wash your hands on grass on Shabbos, right? Can you wash your hands on netilah? Can you wash netilah shadayim on grass on Shabbos? So the answer is no. Your goal is to do netilah shadayim. What's going to happen? Avo pi she'eino miskaven psik reshe. What are you doing? You're watering the grass, so that's a problem. He said, "Avol muter lahata behem meir reglaim o shar mashkim she'eino matzmicha." One can theoretically urinate. It's not appropriate to do that, but theoretically, you can urinate on grass because it doesn't help the growth. So the Rama then says, "V'lachein tov lachmi shalecho beginos." Therefore, it's better not to eat on the gardens or on grass on Shabbos. Imishtam shemimayim. If you're going to be drinking also, because the v'koshi yeshli zar shli pushamayim, because it's very difficult to make sure you're not going to spill any of the water there. So again, this is davar she'eino miskaven is permitted, but if it's psik reshe, if you know that you're doing a malachas, so then it would be forbidden. So the question is, there are different types of psik reshe. There is a type of psik reshe which you benefit from, you want it, it's helpful for you, and there's another type which is Yeah, it's going to do a malacha, but you don't want it. So does that make a difference? What's an example of this? So the Gemara in Sukkah, in Source 39, Daf Lamed Gimel Beis says, Tanur Rabbanan, rabbis teach, Ein Mamatim B'Yom Tov. So we're talking about like this. Let's say it's Sukkos. And are you allowed to pick grapes off a cluster? You have a grapevine? Not grape. You go to the store, you buy some grapes. And so grapes are connected to the branch. So you're allowed to pick the grapes off, right? Nothing wrong with that on Yom Tov or Shabbos, right? Because you're eating it. Not a problem. So what if you have a myrtle branch? And in the myrtle branch, there are berries. And you're picking off the berries off the myrtle branch to eat them. You know what a myrtle branch in Hebrew is? Hadasim.
The
So let's say, so he talks about a case where you're picking off the berries off the hadas branch in order to eat them. But then what have you done? Because you've picked off the berries, you've created a hadas. So you've halachically fixed something. You've fixed something halachically, because now it's fit to be used as a hadas branch. So the Gemara in Sukkah says, Source 39, Eim matim b'yom tov. You're not allowed to diminish the berries in Yom Tov to make the branch fixed. But Rishim, he said you can't do it. Ah, v'ha k'metaki mana b'yom tov. But aren't you fixing it on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, Amar Vashi, maybe the goal is you're not doing it because you want to. You're not picking off the berries because you want to create. You want to make the hadas. You're picking them off because you're hungry. You want to eat them. Ah, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savala Kabua, Damar Rabbi Shimon is kind of mutter. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that something that's done unintentionally, that's permitted on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But isn't this case a psikreshe? Meaning, you're definitely going to cause the malacha to be done. So we don't have the leniency of Dorosheni Miskaven. So the answer is, cases you have another Hoshana, meaning you have another myrtle branch, another Hadas. So you're not benefiting from this. So this is what's called a psikreshe de lo nichale. Okay? In other words, you're causing. You don't intend to do a malacha with your action. You want to do something else. You want to eat the berries. You're causing a hadas to be created, but it doesn't benefit you. You don't care about it. It's called psik reshe delo nichale, niach noach. In Hebrew, noach is like pleasant to you. It's not pleasing to you. You don't care about it. So what do we hold about that? So it would seem from this Gemara, maybe that psik reshe delo nichale might be permitted. In fact, the Ritva in Source 40, he says, Perish Rav Bal Orachzal, Sha'afal Pishu Metakin Gomor, Ain Dim Psik Reshe, Vloyamos, Elkshu Nenem Mimlachto. He says that Psik Reshe only applies, the halacha, Psik Reshe, being Aser, only applies when you benefit from the work, from that malacha. Kevin Sha'osib Lo Miskav. Again, you don't intend to do the malacha. So if you, as long as you benefit from it, so then it's forbidden. However, it says the Aruch. Aruch was a rabbi. I think he lived in like, I think even before Rashi's time, and he's from Italy. Because I'm not exactly sure when he is, but does he say when he is? Okay, but he's not a well-known. This is one of his more famous positions, and he says. So he says, "Kimin Shosa Blom Skavin Vehi Rayas Rabos the Kaim Svarazu." So the Ritva cites the Aruch, who holds that. From this Gemara and other Gemaras, that if you don't benefit from the Malacha, so then it's fine. Okay? So, but the Ritva concludes Velohi. We don't hold like the Aruch. So this is a big question. What do we hold about Psik Reshe de Lo Nichale? Okay? Example, you open a refrigerator door, light goes on. Right? And let's say it's the daytime, so you don't really care that the light goes on, so you're not benefiting from it. So the Aruch would say, the Aruch would probably say it's fine. The Ritva would say, well, it's forbidden. So this machlokas, this debate, has a lot of practical ramifications. Again, we're learning sort of the introduction here, basic principles. But this is a very important machlokas debate here. So the Mishnah Berurah in Source 41, or Chaim Shin Lamed Vav Siv Katan Chav Zayin says, Psikure Shehu, Diyavshad Shelo Yoel Le Gadlam. It's impossible that it will not help them grow. So here he's talking about if you're pouring water on the grass and you want to wash your hands and the water goes on the grass. But he said, "Vim ocha begina she'ena shelo, velo shel adam ho'avo." Are you allowed to wash your hands on a neighbor's yard? You don't care, or some, not even your neighbor, some strange guy's yard. So you don't care that his grass gets watered. Doesn't benefit you at all. So is that permitted or not? So, yesh matirin, those who permit it, the sphere lahu that they hold, kevin psik reisha l'nichalehu, that's a psik reisha, yeah, you're watering someone else's grass, but you don't care about it. Shari af l'chatchil, it's even permitted, l'chatchil, ideally. Varvei poskim osrim gam psik reisha l'nichaleh, many poskim forbid psik reisha l'nichaleh, ideally. So Mishnah Berurah says we ideally do not follow the Aruch. Rav Avad Yosef in Source 42, Yabia Omer Chelakeis or Chaim Chavzayin, he says Meforsh Betos Shabbos the Hanal the Rabbanim Psikreish Lichalei Mutar. He says that regarding an Isser Rabbanim, in other words, if I do a Malacha, I do an action, and that causes, I know a rabbinic prohibition will be caused because of that, and I don't care about it. So since it's, I didn't intend, and even though it definitely will happen, it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan that's going to happen, so that would be permitted. V'chein pasdek b'pshitus hagon mari kohen b'shut bote kahuna shafilo das achokin aruch, even those who argue on the aruch. Aruch holds, even on a Doraisa, even on an underlying Torah prohibition, if you don't benefit from the underlying Malacha, it's permitted. But even those who are arguing, Sfir Lahu, the Psikret L'Nichalei Asher L'Chathilo, Hainu Dafka Malacha Asur Min HaTorah, it's only when there's a Malacha that's forbidden from the Torah. V'lachach, Echmiru Lesser Medivrayim, Psikret L'Nichalei. And that's where they're strict to forbid Secret should lo nichale. If I'll be sued rabbanon near the kuliyam, moldu the mutter lechatchila. But in sued rabbanon, everyone would agree that it's permitted lechatchila. So let's go back to our light on the fridge. So that would mean that if I open up the fridge on Shabbos and I want to get stuff out and it's daytime, so I don't really benefit from the light going on, and it's an incandescent bulb. So it's incandescent bulb. So that an incandescent bulb turning on Shabbos, that's an Isser D'Oraisa, because you have a metal filament that becomes hot. It's like glows. So that's an Isser D'Rabbanan. So an Isser D'Oraisa. Sorry. So that would be a debate. The Aruch would say it's okay, and many other Rishonim would disagree. And the Mishnah Berurah seems to disagree. Ideally, you shouldn't do it. However, if, let's say, like most of our fridges, I think, if the light that would go off would be, you know, an LED light, so the underlying prohibition is Drabanon, so then if you open the fridge door, then that would be okay, according to Rav Avad Yosef. Because again, or let's say very often, like, you know, in the fridge, they have these, like, numbers, like, you know, with the, let's say you unscrew the light, but let's say something, a light goes off that doesn't benefit you at all, so that would be permitted according to Rav Avad Yosef. If the underlying malacha is only Isser D'Rabbanan and you don't intend to turn on the light, you want to get the stuff out of the fridge. So how do we paskin? So Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa says Dugma, and he says Perakaf Alachat Esvav, he says Dugma L'davar Adam She Sogar Delz Beveso L'Tumo Kishiyotze me'abais. V'yesham chayak ngon tzipor senitzoda ketotza me'pula shel skirat hadal. Let's say you have a bird flying around your house. So there's a malacha called tzeda, trapping. And the door is open. The bird can fly away. You're leaving your house. You close the door. So you're closing the door because you want to leave the house. But what have you done? You're trapping the bird. So he says, this is the Shemir Shabbos says it's only Nisid Rabbanon. The reason why it's only Nisid Rabbanon, because there's something called, like, if you trap an animal into a really, really large space, but you can't easily get to it, so is that really trapping on a Torah level? If you trap the animal in a small area that you can grab it with one jump, one motion, then that's the deraisa of tzeda. But let's say you have a bird, you trap it inside your house. Is it really trapped? Can you just grab it right away? It's going to fly away a little bit. So it's a rabbinic form of trapping. So nevertheless, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says this is an Issa Drabbanon. Because, and he says, he argues on Rav Avadya Yosef, and he thinks it's still an Issa Drabbanon, even if we're dealing with an underlying Issa Drabbanon. The Prima Gaudium says, well, if it's a double Drabbanon, what's a double Drabbanon? Let's say you trap a fly. See, you close a box, and you trap a fly in a box. Flies aren't meant to be trapped, and then when it goes in a box, it also can't easily be caught. So it's a double Drabbanon. So everyone agrees if you can knock something down to a double Drabbanon, so then Psik Reshe works. However, Rabbi Willig actually follows Rav Avadya Yosef. So what I tell people, sometimes people go away. Let's say they go to a hotel or go to an Airbnb and they have this problem with the light in the fridge. So again, ideally, you want to try to find a way to, you know, remove the bulb and remove the light from the fridge before Shabbos. But he would say that if you're stuck and you can't, and you can have no food otherwise, he thinks Mikar Hadin, as long as it's like a Gzeira Drabanan, then he would think that if in a pinch, you would be allowed to open up the fridge to get food if you don't care about the light. Because he has the same view as Rav Avadya Yosef. He doesn't go as far as the Aruch. The Aruch says even for an underlying Issur Daraisa, if you don't care about the Malacha that you're doing, then it's permitted. But he will say that if you can knock down two Drabanan, so that's very practical. Again, the fridge light, that would be a very practical case where if you would... right, so if you don't care about it, or another example, you go to a hotel and you need to get up to your room, and when you walk through the hallway, you trip a switch that goes on. So at nighttime, it's far more problematic halachically. During the daytime, it's not so problematic, not as halachically problematic, because that would be a psik reshe lo nichale, because you don't really need the light, and it's probably only, these lights nowadays are mostly, you know, non-incandescent, so it's only nisid rabbanon. So this actually is very relevant. Okay, when we study malachos, we'll see how this comes up. Okay?
Rabbi, this is if you're doing something on purpose
no,
or
not
by
on
accident?
Purpose. Like, not on purpose. I would say neither purpose nor accident. Your goal...
In the fridge, normally you disable it and then you open the fridge door.
It's better to do that.
So I'm trying to understand. So if you can't disable it and then there's a machlokas, but what if you didn't disable it or the disabling didn't work and you thought that the light was disabled and you opened your fridge door?
Well, again.
Is that the same thing, or is that?
Well, it's even better, I guess. I mean, it's even better because you didn't realize. My point is, even if you know that the light will go on, my point is, even if you know the light will go on, so again, your intent, your goal when opening the door is not to turn on the light. Your goal is you want to get the food out of the fridge. You know that a melacha will definitely happen. Or you know that a rabbinic prohibition will normally happen. So since that a prohibition will happen. So since this prohibition is only a rabbinic prohibition, and since you don't care about you're not trying to benefit from that, or it doesn't benefit you from that. So therefore, in a pinch, you can rely on that.
Okay, thank you.
So it's important to cover now, right?
Yes, cover now is important. Okay, another category, I guess the final category we'll do, is what's called misasek. Actually, the two more, misasek and groma. So misasek, Rashi says that the only type of malacha that's forbidden on Shabbos is what's called malachas machsheves. You said gila, kavana. Shechoshev laso zos. You thought to do the malacha. You need to do the malacha that you thought you were going to do. If you didn't do it, then you're not liable. Okay? So, I mean, if you think about it, probably, you know, there are satellites going on, right? There are satellites from way up high that track our movements. And probably when we walk through the streets, we probably cause something to go on, and these big satellites that they're tracking us. We probably caused something, but we have no clue. We're not even intending. We don't even know about it. So the Gemara increases stuff. Your testament now says the following. Omer lo Rav Yeshua, harehu omer asher chataba. The Pasuk says that if someone commits a sin that he knows about it, achi yivada lo b'mechata, he has to know, for him to be liable, he has to know that he committed the sin. And Belazar, haimai avile. So what does he do with this pasuk? Asher chata, miboile prat lemisasek. So there's the first opinion seemed to say that you have to bring a korban if you know that you sinned. And I guess Rabbi Lezer disagrees with this for our purposes. He says that this pasuk, asher chata, tells you that if you are misasik, if you're unaware that you committed a sin, then you don't have to bring a korban. So what does it mean, misasik demai? In what context do we say that if you did something unintentionally, you are not liable even to bring a korban, a sacrifice? So ida chalavim varayos chayav, if we're talking about, let's say you mistakenly had forbidden food, or someone mistakenly, I don't know how this is, they thought they were intimate with one woman who was their wife, and then they went to it with someone else. Okay, so then you're liable. Damar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Amisasik Bachlam Varayas Chayv Shekein Nana. Because in both these cases, even though one was unaware of eating the non-kosher food or being intimate immorally, so in both these cases, one gets pleasure, and therefore it gets benefit. So therefore, they have to bring a korban. V'misasik b'Shabbos pater. But if you do a malacha on Shabbos and you're unaware that you did the malacha, you're obviously pater. My time is the reason. The Torah says that you're only liable if you intend to do the malacha. So what's this case? Why do you need a special? What's this exemption of misasik that we're talking about? So the Rav Mishkach Zol can go and shenis kavin lachtoch as ha talush v'chatech as a mechubar. The case is where you intended to cut off. Let's say you had in the fields. You thought that there were some carrots that were already harvested and they're lying on the ground. So you're cutting them up. You thought they're not connected to the ground. Turned out they were connected to the ground. So you thought it was disconnected. Just like I can cut carrots, you know, in my house. So I can also cut carrots if it's lying in the field, if they're detached. So I thought they were detached, turned out they were attached. So I cut something that was attached from the ground, so that's a malacha of kotzer. So that, but this would be an example of you intend to do a permitted action, and you did a forbidden action. You still did the maisa chaticha, you did the same action that you thought you wanted to do, but the object upon which you wanted to do the action was different than you intended to do. Now, as you wanted to do a certain action and you did that action, but the object upon which you did the action was not what you thought it was. That's the exemption of misasek according to Rava, where you're not liable. And the and according to Abaye, Mishkachas Lo could go on the Niskaven like Biyah Talus for Chadakas HaMechubar. Abaye says even it's even it's if you intend to pick up something that's detached, and instead you cut something that was attached. So basically, according to Abaye, maybe you wouldn't be lenient, you might not be lenient in the first case. In other words, both would agree if I intend to do a permissible action, I just want to pick up something, I think something is lying on the ground, picking it up, and then when I pick it up, I realize, oh my gosh, this is actually connected to the ground, and I cut it, I disconnect it. So the action that I did was not what I intended to do. Sort of like, you know, when you I don't know, I'm trying, I lean up against the wall of my house, and I bump up against a switch, and it goes on. So there, I as opposed to let's say me flipping the switch, thinking that the electricity is down, it turns out the electricity is not down. Right? So Abaye says that the only time that you're exempt from even being a korban is a situation where you don't even know, you don't even intend to do the forbidden action. Rava says, even if you intend to do the forbidden action to a permissible object, then it's also considered misasik. So if you look at Tosfos, he understands a little bit differently. Then we'll see practically in a minute. And it seems according to Ben Tam, the Hacha Mairi. Thinks that the debate between Abaye and Rava is with someone that you intended to cut something that was detached, and it turned out that it was attached, and you cut it, and that's the machlokas by Rava, right? And that would be Abaye and Rava would disagree, right? Right, because according to Rava, this would be exempted from even a korban, and Abaye would say that no, you would be liable for this. Okay, so right, so if you look, if so, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger in source 48 goes a little bit further, and he says the following. He says, "V'nira li davar chadash." I have a new idea. So this pasuk of Asher Chata, that you're not liable on Shabbos if you are misasik, if you're unaware of what you're doing. Lo demisasik lo nasis haveira klal. He says, listen, if you are completely unaware, then no sin has occurred at all. Meaning, when I walk out on the street. And let's say because I'm walking around the street, I don't know, certain signals, satellites are, I don't know, circuits are closing because satellites are watching my every move and certain things happen. That I'm completely unaware. So I'm totally, I don't have to be, I don't have to bring a korban for that, a sacrifice for that. Right? So, and he says, let me say this again. He said the following. When he said, sorry, for Misa, when the pasuk of Shechata ba lemisaseg, pral lemisaseg, lo demisaseg lo naseh v'rakal. It doesn't mean that there's no aveira at all. El demikri aveira b'shogeg. You committed a sin b'shogeg. V'ach b'shogeg kahai b'matina me'a Shechata ba depata b'korba v'kom 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 mikre shigas iser. So, I'm sorry. So, he says the following. That if you want it like here, if you want it the first case like this, you wanted to detach one branch from a tree and you detach a different branch, so your plan has not been carried out, right? So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me say this again. Sorry. You intended to do something, and You wanted to pick up a branch. You thought it was detached. It turned out to be attached. So that's still a sin, right? That's what we talked about, right? Niskaven, your intent, you want to pick up a branch and you thought it was detached. It turned out it was attached. And there, so that you would not bring a korban, but it's still a sin. Avomad mimatina mitam malachas machshevas asher Torah. So he says that's what I was saying. If you for example, if you for example like lean like at my example, he has the notes here. If you just lean up on a wall and you accidentally brush up against the light switch, you didn't commit a sin at all because you were not even like aware of the action that you were doing, right? Your goal was to lean up on a wall and accidentally you hit up against a light switch. That's not even a sin at all. That's not meleches machsheves. You didn't even want to do an action. You just want to lean up against the wall. Happened to be there was a light switch there, right? Or the other example he gives there. You wanted to detach one branch from a tree and you detached a different branch. Your plan had not been carried out. Like this, there's nothing that you, what you did is not at all what you plan to do. As opposed to, you see a branch on the ground. You want to pick it up. Your goal is to pick it up. You end up picking it up. You just mistakenly thought that it was detached, but it turned out it was attached. In that case, you achieved your goal. There was a branch on the ground and you picked it up. Happens to be by doing so, you committed you did an isser. You did something halachically wrong. So that is misasek, and that is again, you don't bring a korban, but it's still a maaseh aveira, it's still a sin. But when you just brush up against the door or the wall, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, there's a light there. That has nothing to do with your action at all. And then it's not even a sin whatsoever. You don't even need atonement for it. You know, some people, what they do, they brush up against a light switch on Shabbos, and it turns on, and you feel so guilty. Then what do? You turn it off. That's bad. You know, you're so guilty. So we're saying that if you brush up against a light, the Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying there's no sin whatsoever because there was never. Your intent was not realized at all. That there's no meleches machsheves at all. There was never any intent to do anything with that light switch. You had no idea it was there.
Was done by accident.
Right, but you didn't even know about the light switch. As opposed to if I have a branch on the ground and I pick it up, I wanted to pick up the branch. I picked up the branch. Oh my gosh, I made a mistake. I didn't realize that it was attached. So it's also, you don't bring a korban, but that's a different type of misasik. There's still a sin. There's a negligence, a sin that you committed, but it's not a korban. So we're going to. So that's something called misasik. Last thing we'll do tonight, very briefly, is called grama. Right? We talked about different categories over the past few weeks. You know, davar she'ein miskaven, melacha she'ein tzricha legufa, and the last broad category in our introduction is called grama. So what is grama? Grama is when you do something indirectly. And here in Source 49, in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, Kuf Chaf Beis, so the first opinion in the Mishnah says that, let's say I see there's a fire going. Now, we're making an assumption here, assuming the fire is not life-threatening and it's only going to cause property damage. I would say nowadays we could reject that assumption. Nowadays, probably, when most fires break out, we have to be concerned. It may potentially cause, but it could cause harm to people, like physical harm, could potentially life-threatening. So we try to put up the fire. But let's say you know for sure it may only cause property damage. So what do? You line. You can't put out the fire on Shabbos. It's also the keyboard. Can you put a line of barrels, to so that when the wa if the fire comes to the barrels, it will extinguish, the barrels full of water, and it will extinguish the fire. So the first opinion says that you can do that. Rav Yosi also bichli cheres chadashim malei mayim. He says that you can't with new earthenware vessels; they're full of water. Because what's going to happen? The fire is going to cause the vessels to break, and then the water is going to come gushing out, and it's going to put out the fire. So the Gemara says, "Man, the Rabbanan Savri Gram Kibe Mutar." So Rabbi Yossi Savri Gram Kibe Asher. So maybe this is the Machlokes. What are you doing here? You're not directly putting out the fire; it's indirect. So what makes something indirect? So on a simple level, maybe a time lag is indirect. You do an action on Shabbos, and you do that action that will definitely cause malacha to happen, not immediately, but at some point in the future. Right? So you're setting up a system that the water will put out the fire at some point in the future. So maybe this is the debate. The first opinion, which says it's permitted, says grab key boy, indirectly causing the fire to be extinguished is permitted, and Rav Yossi thinks it's forbidden. So the Gemara says, no, can't be. The Gemara says, "Ksiv lo sasa koblacha siya hudasa grama sharet." The Gemara says that no, everyone holds that grama is permitted. Only doing a malacha is forbidden, but grama, indirectly causing a malacha, is permitted. And the Gemara later on explains why Rav Yossi thinks it's forbidden. The bottom line is, Shulchan Aruch quotes this Gemara in Source 50, or Chaim Shilam Adal Tzif Chapes, Osim Mechidim Halkeim L'Havsik Bein Hadleik, Afil Klei Cheres Chadashim Leim, Maim Shavai Yisbakuk She Tagia Lohem Hadleik De Gram Kibur Mutar. So pretty clear, Shulchan Aruch says, you can put fire, you can put earthenware vessels of water around the fire, even though you know that the water will extinguish the fire. Grama, it's permitted, says Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah says only b'makom seida. So he limits it only to a case of financial loss. So in case of financial loss, grama is permitted. And the Be'er Halacha on Source 51 says, lav davka kibui. It's not only the malacha of kibur, because that's a malacha shein tzricha lagufa. Maybe you could say that extinguishing it not to make a coal is what we call malacha shein tzricha lagufa. The filu b'chol malacha sadin kein. So grama, indirect malacha, is always permitted only b'makom pseida, only in cases of financial loss. But if it's not in a case of financial loss, then it would be forbidden. I'll give you an example. Are you allowed to hook up a timer, or change the time on a timer that will go off, let's say earlier, that will cause your hot plate to go on earlier on. You say your hot plate is connected to a timer on Shabbos. So what do? You play with the time, so now it'll go on earlier. So that's an example of gram havara. You're causing the malacha of havara of kindling, assuming that the hot plate is, let's say, the malach of Havara, you're causing a flame, you're causing a heat, right? Havara. So what are you doing? When you turn the timer, you're not causing a malach to happen now. You're causing a malach to happen earlier than it otherwise would have, right? That's called gram havara. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it should be permitted, but according to Ashkenazim, it would be forbidden. However, if there was some kind of financial loss, if you didn't, I don't know, somehow you can say all my food would get ruined if I don't do this, so maybe grama would be permitted. Right? So these are some of the categories that we learned as an introduction. That tonight we did three of them. Psikreshe, Misasek and Grama, and God willing, next week we're going to begin with the Malacha of Bishul.